together. We've been looking through the book of Psalms, which is a collection of hymns and poems, really, that the people of God would gather together in corporate worship and sing aloud and, you know, sing the truths of God together. Now, one thing that I think many of us who read the Psalms, whether it's for devotion or even just studying it on our own, one thing that we really appreciate, or at least that I really appreciate about the Psalms, is the reality that we see in the Psalms of kind of the broad scope of human emotion, but also just the reality that there's no need to kind of polish up language and, you know, make light of circumstances. But, you know, as the psalmists face difficulty in their lives, they just put it all out there. They explain everything that they're feeling, everything that they're going through. But one of the most, you know, refreshing aspects is always that in the midst of difficulty and hardship, somehow, some way, the psalmist always returns his eyes and his heart back to God. Lord, will you forget me? How long, Lord, will I have to go through these things? Even in the midst of very real and kind of visceral emotion, human emotion, still there's this grasping and clinging to the truth of who God is because of a relationship with our God. And I believe that that's what's so important for us as we continue to read through the Psalms. We're going to look at another Psalm today that is what we would call a Psalm of Lament. And it comes from David as he looks around and he sees so many people living apart from God, in disobedience to God, willfully hurting others and taking advantage of others, and in particular with their words and in the actions that he sees. And so he has this Psalm of Lament, but ultimately it's always girded with the truth that even in the midst of these sorrows, God is always there, and that he's there with his peace, his love, his righteousness, and that we can hold on to that. So maybe this morning, you know, we are in a place, maybe some of us where we are in our lives, you know, grieving or filled with lament, or we look at the state of, you know, our nation or the world, and we just kind of wonder, like, where are the believers who are standing up for truth? Well, God has given us this psalm, and I think we can learn from it to see what we can do with our lives to reflect what God has for us, his purpose for us. And so we're going to look at Psalm 12 together today. Psalm 12. And so let's go ahead and look at the word of God together this morning. Psalm 12 says, to the choir master, according to the Sheminith, a psalm of David. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side, the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Would you encourage us and would you challenge us today? Challenge us and remind us what it means to have your words of truth, but also with our own mouths, that we would speak words of truth that ultimately glorify you and show who you are to those around us. Be with us, in your name we pray. Amen. So, we're going to talk a little bit and just really get into this idea of what it means to have words of truth, both for ourselves, but also obviously that we have the truth of God. So how does that interact? How does the truth of God even kind of, you know, permeate through this particular psalm, as we see David in this psalm of lament? And so we're going to go through 3 points together. And the first thing that I really want to encourage us to do is this. The first point is this, that we learn as believers to speak with godly intention. Speak with godly intention. In verses 1-2, this is what it said. It said, "Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone." He's making an observation. He feels like there are no people who are staying faithful to God in their speech and in the way that they live. Lucas says, "For the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and double heart they speak." So you see, David, there's this deep sorrow that he feels because he has a relationship with God that is so deep, that is so real, that when he sees people living in such a way that he knows violates the commands of God, when he sees godlessness in the people, in the way that they're living or speaking, he is himself filled with sorrow. And it might sound like a little bit of exaggeration, but he's just being honest about how he feels when he says, you know, everyone utters lies. The faithful have vanished. He said he looks around, he doesn't see anyone who's being faithful to God or obeying. And so he's tired of seeing people speak with selfishness and self-seeking intention. And one of the words he uses is, you know, he cuts the cord. He calls those who speak lies and flatter people for their own gain. He says that they are double-hearted. Double-hearted. And that's where this point comes out of, that you speak with godly intentions because only God truly knows what's in your heart. And when we speak, there's always two options. One is to glorify God, or the other to glorify ourselves in some way. We see James, you know, we studied through the book of James. James talks about it in his first chapter in verses 7-8. That, you know, "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." And it's the same sentiment that if someone is double-minded, is double-hearted, it means that they are not pure in their motive. They're not pure in their intention, and they don't have a connection with our God, the God of truth. You see, people were saying whatever they wanted, whether it was true or not, so that it would give them an advantage in life. Maybe they could get out of trouble by lying. Maybe they could sell something to someone but lie in order to receive it. Maybe they would use words of flattery, puff people up to make them feel better, but just in order to gain something or take something from them. You see, that's double-heartedness. It's what can I get? What can I get? What can I receive? And then using words as a vehicle, as a weapon to receive that. But a heart that is set upon the Lord, it always remembers God first. Am I honoring God in my words? Are my intentions pure? Is my motive to glorify God with the words that I'm speaking? You know, there's an actual command we see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, one of the Ten Commandments, that simply says, "Do not bear false witness against your neighbor." And so you see, people were literally disobeying the commandments of God. They were not speaking with godly intention. No, they were using their words to bear false witness in ways and to lie again for their own gain. Now I want you to think in your life, has there been a time when you've used your words, whether it be flattery, whether it be making excuses, or even just flat out lying, in order to gain something for yourself? That is double-heartedness. That is double-mindedness. And in God's people, there's no room for it. And God wants us to not be double-minded or double-hearted, but to be solely hearts depending on Him, knowing Him. Now, when we talk about you know, people saying things in order to gain something. You know, sadly, it reminds me always about politics. And, you know, there's a very important election, you know, obviously underway in our nation. And, you know, I know it's a very divisive and polarizing thing, sadly. And I'm not here to comment on who you ought to vote for. You know, I've already shared biblical principles that I believe are important for Christians to uphold. And, you know, so I encourage you, if you have not, to vote on biblical principles and conviction. But what I do want to comment on is a lot of times during these election cycles, you know, we as people, we are too quick to put our trust or our hope in one person or the other, one candidate or the other. And too many people have been taken in by, you know, I think the media and politics that seek to divide us. And even within the church, even within the believers of Christ, there's division because of politics. And both sides want to say, no, trust us. You know, we're the better ones. No, trust us. We're the better ones. And don't trust them. They're the worst ones. And this is the basic message that we hear within politics. But as believers, again, we cannot place our trust and our hope in any politician. Why? Because politicians, they oftentimes make promises that they don't intend to keep, or they simply can't keep. But they tell us what we want to hear often, maybe even changing what they say from time to time, just so that they can receive a vote. You see, it's oftentimes for themselves that they would gain something. And this is the world's way. Politicians are no different than even you and me at times, if we are honest with our hearts, how we use our words. Times where we may deceive even to get what we want. But we have to recognize that there is only one person, and we're going to talk about this later on in this message, one person that makes promises and follows through 100% on every single one. And we know that that is God alone. And so regardless of the outcome of this year's election, we trust in God. We put our hope in God. And we're going to see, again, he makes promises to his people that we can depend on and that aren't going to fall through. So we mustn't be like the world. We mustn't be people who use our words to receive for ourselves, but we use our words to give, to bless, to honor those around us. We learn as children of God to speak with a pure heart and with godly intention. What does that mean to speak with godly intention? It means he is at the forefront. He is the one that we look to. God, what is my heart wanting right now? Does my purpose and intention glorify you? And if the answer is no, then we say, God, change my heart, purify my heart, so that it looks more like yours. You see, God looks at the intentions of our hearts. He looks at our hearts. He knows what's there, why we're saying what we're saying, why we do what we do. And so let's learn to repent and go to God and to learn to speak with godly intention. Second thing is this, as we think about the words of God, the words of truth, we have to learn how to make requests to God. Let's look at verses 3-5 together. It says, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us, who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. Now, when we read these verses, this may seem like a very kind of violent or ungracious request that David is making to God. David, he's essentially crying out for action to be taken by God against all of the ungodly living, lying, self-centeredness, and pride and deception that is going on that he sees. Now, David always knew who it was that he should turn to when he felt that he was alone, when he felt that there was a need for heart correction. We know that David himself made many mistakes in his life, but again, he always turned back to God. He knew that God was the answer for any heart issues, for any sin, corruption, enemies around him. And so he asks God to humble those who are living in ungodly ways, to correct those who are living in disobedient ways. Why? Because God, and David knows God, and he knows the heart of God. Remember, God even calls David the man after his own heart. And so he is fueled not just by his own, you know, sorrow or lament, but it's because he knows that God is being dishonored. You see, people, they're living in such a way that is going against the very thing that we were created for. We were created to worship God. We were created to be in communion with God. We were created to obey God and know him, to care for others, to serve others, to give to others. And yet people were using words to take advantage of those who are poor, those who are the most vulnerable. And yes, the faithful ones of God being attacked. And so David makes requests to God. And God answers. That's what we see, right? That's what verse 5 is. That's the Lord talking. He's the one who is saying, because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. You see, God doesn't have to do anything, but he explains why he is going to. He takes care of the poor and needy. This is his character. This is who God is. And most importantly, he takes care of his people. That's his promise that he's made. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. You see, God will preserve his people. He will give correction and judgment as needed. And he is the one to do it because he is God. He'll rectify the situation in his timing. And when he arises, you know, watch out. You know, it kind of reminded me of when I was younger. You know, I have an older brother named Dan or Daniel. And, you know, that's us right there. That's when we were kids. And, you know, we had matching mushroom, you know, cuts, kind of standard bowl cuts, I think, that a lot of us, you know, second generation Asian American kids had. But, you know, we were pretty good kids growing up. And, you know, every once in a while, okay, maybe pretty often, we'd get a little bit rowdy. You know, we like to play physically and we pretended to wrestle and do all these kind of things. And, you know, every once in a while, we kind of take it too far. And, you know, our mom would come and nicely, you know, let us know to please settle down. And maybe just to even just stop because we were getting too rough. But on very rare occasions, you know, we just continued on without listening. And really, in a way, we disobeyed and ignored her request to please stop being so rowdy. Now, if we had stopped, you know, there wouldn't have been an issue and it would have been fine. But oftentimes when she knew better, and so she knew when things were getting a little bit too heated. And you know, every once in a while, my brother and I would get into, you know, a fight. We'd end up fighting. And that's when I still hear my mom calling, you know, this voice. She said, "Yobo," okay? And if you don't know what that is, in Korean, that just means honey. And so ultimately she was calling for our dad, right? And in a way, you know, she's making a request of my dad to come and take care of what was happening. And that's when we knew, when we heard her say, "Yobo," we knew that it was serious. And we knew that we were going to learn a valuable lesson very soon. And, you know, and we learned. You know, there was correction in love, but there was correction. And, you know, it reminded me of that because in this verse, you know, it says, you know, the Lord, you know, he sees these things and he hears David's request. And so he arises, and it's kind of like, oh man, you know, when dad gets out from his chair, from whatever work he was doing, you know that, you know, something's going to happen and you better take heed. And God God sees how we live. He sees the world. He sees the many, many people, the multitude of people who are living in disobedience, living in sin, who do not know him, who are living apart from him. But when we cry out as his children, as his followers, he listens and he hears us. And in his timing, he will do what only he can do. He will bring judgment. He will bring correction. He would even at times change hearts so they will know what it means to obey and live for him. You know, don't we kind of do that sometimes where when we see things happening around us, sometimes we get angry. You know, those who are cheating but prospering, living ungodly ways but doing well in this world, we get upset. A lot of times we get upset and we want to do something about it. Sometimes we want to take care of things on our own. You know, can we change policies to make this better or that better so that these kind of things can't happen? And those things are all fine and good. But David and the Word of God gives us a different prescription. Go to God. Make requests to God. There's no more powerful thing that you can do when you see wrongdoing or ungodly living around you, maybe even in our own families or within our friends or within our workplaces. We can go to God and make requests to him. Only he can deal with the double-hearted as the true judge that will dole out eternal consequences. So call out to God. And kind of like my mom called out to my dad to come and take care of these things, we can call out to our Heavenly Father, who is God, and he will arise. And he will act on our behalf because we are his people. Last thing is this: trust in God's word. And I know that we've heard this before many times, to trust in God's word, but there's such a contrast between people, humanity, fallen humanity. There's insincere words, words that are for self, and the words of God, which point us to him, which are beneficial and blessing to us because they always lead us to know more about who he is, that we can grow in our relationship with him. What an awesome thing, God's word for us. This is verse 6-8. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace and on the ground, purified 7 times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side, the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. God is good and gracious. He doesn't force anyone into repentance, but he wants for humanity to repent. His word always points us to the sin that we have in our hearts, but then redirects us, calls us to repentance so that we can receive forgiveness and salvation that comes from him alone. He wants us to stop living in our self-centered, selfish, and wicked ways, our deceptive ways where we use words to get what we want or to take advantage of others. And so when God speaks, we need to listen. See, he's not a politician. He's not a salesman. He's not some smooth talker with ulterior motives. When he speaks, it's always for the benefit and for the blessing and teaching and rebuking of humanity so that we could know who he is. God never goes back and forth on his word. He doesn't have one stance on this issue and then suddenly he's on the other side. No, he's always God from the very beginning. God who is love, God who is righteousness, God who is justice, that's who he is. That's who we believe, and that's how we can trust in his words. We see it through the whole story of the Bible with Israel and now with us as the church, that even when we fail God in our promises to him, he will never fail us in his promises to us. And this is what he says. He says he will keep us. He will keep us safe. He will preserve a generation of God's people who will be able to shine a light in the world. Even as it feels like or seems like everyone is living apart from God, he will preserve his people and keep us to do his work. And he will never fail us. And look at the words that David uses here. He likens the words of God to purified silver. And purified seven times, again, which connotes a type of perfection. His words are perfect and true without blemish. The word of God, inerrant, from Genesis to Revelation, given to us, filled with sincere words of love and truth. And again, so that we can know him more deeply, so that we can understand who he is, and he will guard us forever until the end, until we see him face to face. And then for eternity, we'll get to experience his love, and we'll know these words that he gives us to be true. So even when the world seems like it's going down in flames, even when the things in our lives seem like they're going, we don't know what's going, they seem out of control, we trust in the promises of God. We can place our hope, our trust completely in his words. I hope that encourages us, because in verse 8, this was the last verse in our psalm, on every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. So he ends with this kind of sober reminder that yes, God is who he says he is. His promises are real. He is for us. He will keep us. He will restore us and renew us each and every day. He will give us peace in the midst of difficult circumstances and all these things. But remember that there is the enemy still. The enemy all around us. Vileness being exalted. I mean, look at our world and what it celebrates. Money, power, fame. All these things that the world puts up as the most important things, and God says, I want you to know who I am. Be humble. Don't be double-hearted. You can't live for this world and for me. See the joy and the blessing of living for me alone. You know, even in our first worship service on Zoom, we saw the vileness and the evil around, you know, someone who try to disrupt our worship service. There's enemy around us at every corner, but God is with us. So trust in his word that he will keep you, that he is with you, that he is for you. So let's speak of God always in the way that we speak. Let's speak with godly intention. Check our hearts, repent so that we can make sure that in everything that we say and do, that we're doing it for the glory of God, that we be purified and made holy. Let us make requests to God through prayer. He hears his people and he will listen. And in his timing, he will do what only he can do, which is to bring judgment, to bring his grace, to change hearts of the people around us. And lastly, let's trust in God's word. That's what we do every single Sunday. As I preach this is the word of God. Let's learn to trust it and live with this trust in God. In every day that we live, the world is filled with lies and insincerity, but the truth of God is very sincere and it fills our hearts, and he can protect us from this world, and he can show through with the power of his truth into a world. You know, his sincere love speaks into the insincerity of the world, and people can know who he is through our words, the words of truth. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good. Be with us. Remind us, help us to be in your words, in your word, so that we can know more of who you are, so we can be connected with who you are. And when we too may be filled with sorrow and lament as we look around the world and we see so many people living apart from you, but help us to make requests to you. God, fill us with your truth and fill us with your love and show us your mighty power, your mighty hand. Arise, O Lord, we ask, and do a powerful thing within the lives of all the unbelievers that we know, whether it's within our family, our workplaces, in this world, so that your truth may stand. And it will. That's the only thing that will stand until the end. And so we trust in your word. Be with us, empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.